From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston. Today, we are going to have a little fun before the weekend. Now, if you're like me, you have a love-hate relationship with social media, especially Twitter. On most days, it's a time suck of endless doom scrolling of bad news and some really bad takes. But then, there's the posts that make you laugh and lift your spirits, especially the ones about your hometown. These little bright spots on the timeline are what we want to focus on today with WBUR's multi-platform editor, Megan Kelly. By the way, multi-platform editor is another way to say social media whiz. We'll be talking about a couple posts that stood out to her and made her proud to be a Bostonian. Megan, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great, Darryl. How are you?
I'm pretty good, especially now that I'm talking to you. So that is correct. I did say proud to be a Bostonian. You say you grew up around here all your life.
Well, okay. So I was born in Boston and I lived in Boston for a few years. I live in the suburbs now, so I'm sure some people would take issue with me calling myself a Bostonian, but I'm going to take it.
All right, bet. So now that we got that all figured out, you are WBUR's multi-platform editor. That's your official title. So you're in charge of the station's social media and the visual storytelling. What does that all entail?
Yeah, so I run all of our main WBUR social media accounts. So like anything that's at WBUR on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, that's mostly me. I do have some other people helping me, but it's mostly me. And I also do some videos, like I'll shoot and edit videos sometimes. If you've ever interacted with any of our social media accounts and it's like someone's talking back to you, that would usually be me.
Oh, sweet. So that means like you're kind of logged on all day.
Yes. All day.
How is that for you?
It can be a little overwhelming at times, but I also... You know, and I think this serves me well as a journalist. I'm also just a person who just really likes to know what's going on. I'm very nosy. There are parts of it that I really enjoy, just knowing what's going on all the time. And like all of my friends and family know that if there's something going on in the news, they can text me and ask like, wait, I just saw this. What's going on with that? And I always have the answer.
Word. I love being nosy myself. Another thing Twitter is good for is like some like good mess. You know what I mean?
Yes. I mean, I gotta say, really love to rubberneck Twitter meltdowns and the host of bad takes and the retweets and the bad takes of the retweets. Like if it doesn't involve me or anyone that I know, I'm very willing to just watch it all happen.
You know what? Same. Now, but we are here to talk about some not so bad takes, some pretty good takes, some interesting takes at the least. What was it that you found out there in the Twitterverse?
Okay, so one post that I came across a couple weeks ago was from Twitter user punished_Kate. And she said, I love being a Texan in Massachusetts. Every day I am like an average level of niceness to someone. And they're like, you are the nicest person I have ever met in my life. No one has ever been this kind to me, ever. And I really, that made me laugh a lot because, like I said, I born and raised here in Massachusetts, and I have spent plenty of time in other parts of the country, and I always find it really funny, but also kind of suspicious when, you know, if you go down south, right, people there are so friendly. They're calling you honey, and they're like, how are you? Can I get you a refill on your drink? Like, tell me everything about you. Whereas up here, it's like, okay, what would you like to drink? Okay, that's great. And that's fine with me. Like, I'm very used to that. And in fact, sometimes when I go to other parts of the country and people are overly nice, I'm like very suspicious. I'm like, what do they want from me? Why is this person making eye contact with me?
You're traumatized.
Yeah, exactly. But like, you know, you're from Philly. I think that you probably have like a similar kind of Northeast vibe, right? Like, we're busy. You know, we got places to be. We're not necessarily being mean. We're just, you know, we're a little colder. But I think also something that I've seen a lot on social media, like especially on TikTok, where people love to talk about regional differences, is that this idea that like in some parts of the country, say like the Midwest, people are nice, but they're not kind. And in the Northeast, people are kind, but they're not nice. So, okay, yes, maybe people aren't being overly friendly to you here, making eye contact on the street. But you get a flat tire, you have people pulling over to ask you if you need help. If you fall down in the subway, you have tons of people coming to your rescue. I mean, when I was interviewing for this job at the station, I was crossing Comm Ave, and this woman pulled me over and said, I just want you to know your dress is unzipped in the back. And I was like, oh my God, thank you so much. And then she just kind of like faded back into the crowd on the T. But it was such a nice, kind thing for someone to do, because that would have been really embarrassing.
She did her good deed for today.
She did. So I just love when people like to talk about these regional kinds of things. And, you know, I can totally see this happening, that someone's from Texas where people are just very open and friendly, and they come here and they're like, what is this? This is so different.
Yeah, it's refreshing. You know, I came here from Philly. Before that, I lived in New York for a little while. And so, you know, I'm kind of making my tour of the Northeast. Right. And I think this is a part of the country that's, you know, the cities are not necessarily known for being super warm at first. And I think for different reasons. I think, you know, Philly is really tough. You know, and I think New York is super expensive. And so, you know, people don't really have a lot of time to talk, you know. And I feel like, you know, I'm new here and I'm kind of figuring it out. But it seems to me, and let me know if I'm wrong, but it seems like Boston is a little more buttoned up, a little more stiff. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. So like, it absolutely is. I mean, my husband used to work for a company that was located in Seattle, and they flew us out one year for like a Christmas gathering and asked us why we were, quote, so dressed up. We were not dressed up. You know, I think he had on like a polo shirt and jeans, and I had on like a nice shirt and jeans, but everyone there was wearing like Birkenstocks and like shorts. And so that made us laugh. It definitely is, I think, a little more buttoned up here for sure.
So now we understand that, you know, Boston, maybe not the most hospitable up front, but people aren't mean, you know. As this next post tells us about, you found another one that kind
yes.
of proves that.
Yeah, so this was really nice. This Twitter user named Grace Holly posted a story in four parts. And it's basically, she posts a picture of her very cute dog who looks like a golden retriever or something, looking very excited.
Yeah, the happiest looking dog.
He had pulled out a drone from Jamaica Pond. So she posts this on Twitter, like, LMAO, look what my dog just pulled out of Jamaica Pond.
And just real quick, for the listeners, this wasn't some toy drone. This was
no.
like a real deal
oh,
drone.
Oh, yeah, this is like an adult would use this drone, not like a
yeah.
not like a little kid, right?
This was not a toy.
No, not at all. It looks like it looks expensive.
Right.
Then this other user, Donrick Pond, says, I believe this is my drone. I lost it at Jamaica Pond by the beach last year. And he puts in a little screenshot of the map. And he asks, do you still have it? And she said, okay, I'm messaging you. And then the next picture is Donrick with her dog holding the drone. It was his drone. And the dog looks very wet and very excited. I just thought that was so nice that it just, you know, a random funny thing that her dog did. And then she was able to reunite this guy with his drone. I don't know if it works, if it still works. That would be amazing if it did. But I think it's really nice that they were able to find each other and connect like that.
Yeah, I love those kind of stories where, especially when you see it on social media, it's just so nice that you're reminded that, you know, the world is not a terrible place. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying? People are nice. People are willing to help each other out. And I also think like that's the beauty of living in a city. You know what I'm saying? That's not something that you could get in, you know, in other parts of the country. Like being in a city is really cool where you have those type of interactions and stuff. So I really love seeing that. But I do have one question for old Donrick. What you doing with a drone like that, bro? Who you spying on,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, right?
Well, Megan, thank you so much for coming through and sharing these two stories with us, sending us off into the weekend on a high note. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Daryl. And I just wanted to also mention out there for anyone who's listening, if you ever see anything funny on Twitter that you want to share with me, I'm at Megan B. Kelly.
Y'all heard that. That's WBUR multi-platform editor Megan Kelly. Yeah, so Megan, we're trying out a new segment with the end of the show where we kind of ask our guests, we just want to get in their business a little bit, just so that people understand that even though we're journalists and we're doing this work, we're also people. We have feelings and thoughts that, you know, we manage within ourselves sometimes. So a question that I have for you is, you know, you spend a lot of time on social media. We touched on this a little bit earlier. Are there times when you find it overwhelming with so much going on in the news cycle?
Yeah, it is very overwhelming. I would say a lot of the time, and especially, you know, since the pandemic started, It is really hard to step away. And, you know, the platforms like make it so easy to just stay on there. Doom scrolling, which is a term that Canadian journalist Karen Ho came up with, which I think is just like the perfect way to describe it.
Yeah. Shout out to her.
Yeah. It for me, you know, I have to monitor it. But I, you know, I try to put up boundaries about it. But it can be a lot for anyone, even if you're not a journalist.
Yeah. And so, you know, for those of us who may not be journalists, what kind of tips do you have for when people start to feel overwhelmed? Because I know for me sometimes, and I had to do this with you once, right? Remember that time you hit me up? You're like, hey, I want to share your story, but your Twitter is gone.
Right.
Because I had to delete it, right? Like, it right. just got to be so much that I don't remember exactly what was happening, but I just knew I had to stop for a bit. I had to give it a break. And so I just completely deleted my Twitter. For those who might be feeling the way I felt when I did that, you know, maybe they don't have to delete their page. What kind of advice would you give for somebody who's feeling overwhelmed by, you know, the news cycle?
Yeah. So one thing that I try to do on a regular basis is take breaks. And that's including every day. But also, for example, if I go on vacation, I just delete everything from my phone. I don't delete my account, but I just delete the apps because I know it's that stuff's not going anywhere, right? Like it's mm-hmm. still happening and I don't need to be there to know everything. The other thing that I like to use a lot is I have an iPhone, and on the iPhone, there are parental controls, but you can actually use them on yourself if you want. So I have set timers for using all my social media apps. I have it set, I think, for 2 hours a day. And when I hit that limit, I get a notification that says, oh, you're done for the day. And you can say, oh, you know, I want 15 more minutes, or I want to turn off this limit thing for the day. It's just like a good reminder to myself to say, oh, wait, how long have you been on this? Maybe you need to take a break. Or like, okay, I'll give myself 15 more minutes and then the timer will come up and then I'll go do something else, right?
I need that for myself.
Yeah, it's a really good way to stop the doom scrolling. Another thing that I have done that I have found really helpful is that I have turned off all notifications on my phone except for texts and phone calls and emails. Everything else, I don't get notifications about Twitter or Instagram or Facebook or anything. I don't get any news alerts. And you might be thinking, like, shouldn't you have those news alerts? Aren't you a journalist? But, like, if I am at work, someone's posting it in Slack or I see it on Twitter, like, I know what's happening.
That Slack channel will let you know.
Yes, but if I'm off the clock, I don't need to know.
Mm-hmm.
And then another thing that I do from time to time is that I just go through my timeline and I'm like, do I really get any value out of following this account? Is it making me feel bad? Yeah, you know, is it making me feel bad about myself? Is it making me feel bad about the world? Is it something that is bringing me joy? And if the answer is no, if I find that every time I look at this person's Twitter account or their Instagram page or whatever, if it's making me feel bad, there's no point in following it. So then mm-hmm. I just unfollow. I might sound funny coming from a person who works in social media that, you know, there is a lot of value in it. And I've learned so much from people, from their experiences. But it also is super overwhelming. And it's very okay to take a break because, like I said, it's still going to be there, right? You can step away from mm-hmm. Twitter. It's still going to be pumping out content 24 hours a day. And you don't mm-hmm. need to be there.
That's it, folks. Just take breaks and just give your brain a chance to just, I guess, relax.
Yeah,
you know, like do what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, protect your time. Your time is really valuable. You don't have to spend it on stuff that you don't want to spend it on. Like, be protective of it.
That's so true. Megan, thank you so much for that advice. And that's all for today. Today's show was produced by Franny Monahan with sound design by Paul Vikas and Emily Jankowski. It was edited by Ben Brock Johnson. And I'm your host, Daryl C. Murphy. Thanks so much for listening. I'll talk to you soon. By the way, every day you hear us tackle news in Boston on Consider This. Well, another one of WBUR's programs uses a wider lens. It's called On Point, and it's hosted by Meghna Chakrabarty. The show makes sense of the world from the economy and healthcare to politics and the environment, and so much more. On Point talks with newsmakers and real people about the issues that matter most. Get the On Point podcast wherever you listen. Just search On Point and hit subscribe.